Welcome to Virtual Economy, a podcast about the business of games for the rest of us. We're your hosts. I'm Mike Footer.
And I'm Amanda Farrow.
On each episode, we'll cover the biggest business beats and bring in expert commentary from lawyers, analysts, and industry pros.
And today we are joined by two industry luminaries that we have been dying to talk to for, like, I feel like it's 2 months.
I actually just went back and looked. That was the thing that I was adding to the show notes before we started. So this is our episode from June 25th. So it's 2 months exactly when we talked to Ava Carr of the Galaxy Fund.
So we are back today. Remember, we talked about this all the way back in June. We were trying to do this for July, and then we tried to do this earlier in August. But you know what? Sometimes the stars just don't bloody well align.
Life finds a way to mess with you.
Life finds a way to mess with you. So we're finally sitting down with two fabulous indie game developers and two of the recipients of the Galaxy Fund. We're joined today by Geneva Hayward and Jules Porter. Welcome to the show. How are you both today?
Doing pretty good. Doing
good. Yeah, it's great to be here.
I'm so glad that we were able to make this happen. So before we jump into our conversation today, I just want to give folks a quick reminder, because it has been like a small amount of time, which in pandemic time is both 3 years and 2 days. That's it.
So, it's amazing how fast slow 2020 has gone.
Yeah, I can't. I'm so tired. Okay, so before we get started, a quick reminder of what the Galaxy Fund is. It is referred to as a prototype fund. And on the GoFundMe page, which we have in our pub notes, it is referred to as this funding will be given as an unrestricted prototype grant for each founder to use however they see fit for themselves and for their business, including childcare, hardware, software, part-time staff, coaching, legal, and therapy. If you would like further context about what the Galaxy Fund actually is, we've also gone ahead and linked to our episode with Ava Carr, which was episode 27. And as of, oh my goodness, I think it was as of 2 weeks ago, the Galaxy Fund was sitting at 38,000 of 50,000. So if you would like to support the Galaxy Fund, we will make sure that we put that in the show notes so that you all can go in and press, yes, I would like to donate, because this is a fantastic fund to donate to. So now to get us kicked off, after all of that, the way that we always start off our conversations with our guests is with origin stories. So Geneva, I'd love to start with you. How did you get your start in indie game development?
Well, I first started out like making games in high school because one of my teachers suggested I try out one of NYU's high school programs that happened on Saturdays, and ended up really enjoying it to the point that the high school program lasted only for like a few months, and eventually a different program focusing mainly on making games in Unity called the School of Interactive Arts came to my school. They helped me learn how to make games on my own, and like each year they usually have like their seniors launch a Kickstarter for their portfolio game, and I was fortunately enough one of those students, and I kept making games since then.
That's awesome. Jules, it's your turn. Tell us about your journey. Your journey into game development has been fascinating.
Yeah, it's been a pretty long journey. So I actually started out, I consider my company as a service company, and in many ways we have a social justice mission. And I believe that started all the way back from when I was a Marine in the Marine Corps. And even when I got out of the Marine Corps, that's when we had a lot of issues in America with social justice. So we had the death of Mike Brown, we had Jamar Clark, Philando Castile, and I'm in Minnesota, so of course now George Floyd.
Yes. Yes.
And those deeply impacted just my ideas of what I'm meant to do, what my calling is, and how I can best use my skills to help the community. I mean, after the death of Trayvon Martin, that's what really pushed me to go to law school, because my youngest brother looks so much like Trayvon Martin. And even though he's a Yale graduate, he wears hoodies. He likes to go walking at night. He goes to the store sometimes. And I don't want people to stalk him or shoot him or,
so he does what, everybody does.
He does what regular people do. But he can be killed for it, and that's the difference. And yeah, I realized that I didn't have the skills to protect him, to protect my family, to protect myself. So that's what got me going to law school. But while I was in law school, I realized that while the law is the language of power, racism is something that's so much different, and that the laws can actually change a person's heart, because that's rot that's in there. It's so deeply rooted just in the core of some human beings. And even having the consequences for displaying that isn't enough for some folks. So what we have to do is we have to find a way to get inside there and uproot it. And I think video games are the perfect way to do that, because it's the only medium where you get a chance to literally be in somebody else's shoes and make decisions that impact the world around them and see how that, you know, affects their lives. And so that's what got me into it. I mean, I've been coding since I was a little kid, started with HTML, moved to C++, and then more recently learning the Unreal Engine. So.
Oh, I love that. That's such a, that's a beautiful story, but it's also a very sad story, because yes, we all know why that's a sad story. We don't need to belabor the point. Thank you both so much for sharing your origin stories.
Yes. Love to talk a little bit about the games that you're working on. Obviously, given that Galaxy Fund is a prototype fund, recognize that these are still games that are in the informative stages. And just to be clear for our listeners who aren't quite aware, getting prototype funding is exceptionally difficult in the game industry. Typically, a lot of publishers and other funders are looking for you to come to the table with a prototype, to have an idea, to have a gameplay loop, even if the art isn't refined and the sound isn't refined, to at least be able to show them what it is that you're working on. So the fact that the Galaxy Fund is a prototype fund enables creators to have the money to invest in themselves and invest in projects so that they can then take those projects further to other funders and have something to show them and pitch. So I want to talk a little bit about these projects. Geneva, tell us a little bit about the game that you're currently developing.
Okay. Currently, I am developing Skate and Date. So it's this roller derby rhythm game dating sim, which is like a lot. But I originally started working on it as like a game jam game, and a lot of people liked it, including me, because I was just like, I really like rhythm games, but I also like roller skating and wanted to combine them together. And I've been working on it to the point of where it is like right now since 2018, when I first like launched the Kickstarter. And I've been like balancing that with school and stuff, but I'm hoping to get it out either early next year or late this year, but probably early next year.
That's great. And it sounds like you had Amanda in a focus group. Because that sounds like a game that is going to be made for her.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? I was in no such, oh, okay, I see. You're calling me out, I understand.
I'm not calling you out, I'm just identifying that Amanda's likely to purchase your game.
Your target market. I am, in fact, your target market. I would like all of that in a video game, but to play right now. But I am, in fact, willing to wait for it, so. That's my Hamilton reference for the day. And we're out.
Jules, tell us a little bit about what you're working on.
Okay, so my first game is a bit over the top. It's called Ultimate Elder Battle Royale. And it's a fighting game.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so Mortal Kombat with old people. But yes! So this is basically a game, you know, if superheroes actually aged instead of being in their 20s forever. So my superheroes, they're 80, 90-year-old superheroes. They live in retirement communities. They're still fighting bad guys. They started an underground fight club as well. But it's a family game. It features a lot of BIPOC. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's funny. So good.
They're body slamming folks, roundhouse kicking people to the moon. But the heroes, so this is a good way. It's a very funny way to put some BIPOC superheroes out there who are positive. This whole game is fun and humorous, but there's a deeper meaning underneath it. Half of my roster will be women superheroes, which I think is really amazing.
Nice.
And then I'm flipping it on its head a little bit, because there'll be one character, he's called Puppy Man. And with his character, his superpower is he can look into your eyes and see your soul and know what puppy will just melt your heart. And so, like, he can actually avoid having to fight. But there is a way that if you actually can piss off Puppy Man enough, that he will actually fight you and he will be the hardest boss in the game.
Oh my goodness.
I love this. I'm getting huge Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy vibes from this.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it.
I gotta find a way for them to be special characters.
Yes. Let's see. Do we know anybody at Nickelodeon, Amanda?
I might have somebody kicking around. If I don't, then I know people that do.
Very awesome.
That's so great. Oh my gosh. Both of these games sound like they were made for me. They're going to be so good. I'm going to play the heck out of them on Ready Player Mom. That's all I know. Okay, so the reason why we wanted to chat with you both is because we want to talk about indie development. We love talking to indies. And I want to get both of your perspectives on, you know, some of the challenges, but also some of the bright spots of working building games as an indie developer, and how funding is going to, I don't know, how funding plays into it for both of you. So Geneva, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, man, like, doing indie development has been, like, really fun because it's just, like, you just think of an idea and then you just go with it. But also, you know, like, making sure that you're meeting deadlines, that you're, like, managing your time properly can be difficult, especially with, like, Skatin' Date specifically I've been working on by myself. But all the other games I've made were, like, just small stuff for me or for contests, but I was fortunate enough to be chosen for Playcrafting's Graffiti Games Initiative last year, where
that's awesome.
You're paid to, like, make a game for the event. Yeah, it was really cool. But I decided that I wanted to have a friend help me work on it. And it was just, like, I do get to work on games with other people, like, for school and things like that. But it would be great to get help from other people and also pay for their time to, like, make development easier and faster, so I'm not, like, drawing and then making music and then writing, you know. But yeah, I feel like funding helps with, like, having other people on, like, being on my team. With Steam, of course, like, you have to pay to get your game on there. And then sometimes people want merch for your games, and then you're like, oh man, how do I do that? And making merch costs money.
it really does. Merch is expensive. And, like, yeah. That's the really scary thing, I think, sometimes when folks get into Kickstarters and they're like, yeah, I'm going to offer all of this really cool collectible stuff. Yes. But then you have to get into the real numbers of figuring out how merchandising production works and how that pipeline and that supply chain works. And it's just so mind-bogglingly expensive at the end of the day.
In fact, early on in the world of Kickstarters and video games back in 2012, 2013, there were a number of projects that actually were sunk, not because of development, not because of cost overruns on that side of things, but because they promised backers art books and t-shirts and bags, and nobody did the research on it to figure out how much that would cost, not only to create the art for, but to actually produce, ship, store, and deliver.
Yeah.
So scary. That is scary, scary stuff. But thank you for sharing your experiences. That's really great. It'll be like, that's the best part of having a little bit of that extra cash injection, is knowing that, hey, I can actually not do this by myself. I can actually pay to have people support this project. And that's amazing. There's freedom in that. Jules, I'd love to know from your perspective how funding is going to, you know, help with some of the challenges as an indie game developer, and how it will help elevate Ultimate Elder Battle Royale. I can't get over this game. Like, it's just, it's so bonkers. I love it.
Yeah, it's a really hilarious game. Well, one thing that I found really early on, I thought that I could do both, being a lawyer during the day and being a game developer at night. And that simply is not possible, because we don't have 36 hours in a day. We only have 24 hours in a day.
Correct.
So I quickly had to make some decisions. And I just had to commit to taking time away from doing that to focusing fully on the game. So for me, a second job is not possible if I want to get this game done in 2021, which is my goal. Additionally, a bank loan just isn't possible because banks want you to pay the money back like right away monthly.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, it takes a year or two to develop these indie games, mm-hmm. Sometimes even 3 to 5 years. So you're not able to pay that bank loan back right away. So that's not really an option. The other thing I explored was like doing business competitions in order to get, you know, equity-free funding. But that's even difficult. Like here in Minnesota, where I'm going to these competitions, I have to spend, if I get 8 minutes to present, I have to spend 4 minutes just explaining to people like what video games are and like what the industry is about and how it's different and how the size of it, because they have no clue. And if I don't do that, then like they basically knock me out of the competition because they don't get the video game industry and how it's different from many of the things that they have experience in. So it's been really frustrating. I was lucky enough to have a fellowship by the Bush Foundation here in Minnesota is not affiliated with like the Bush president family. They're a different family of Bushes, but they do a lot of investment in social entrepreneurs. And then we have a company called Finnegan's Brewery. So those two actually combined to create this Finnovation Fellowship that I was a part of last year. That was really amazing. Awesome. Yeah. So my office is on the fourth floor of a brewery, which makes like happy hours great. It makes, if I have writer's block, it just...
I want to go there.
See? It's awesome.
That sounds amazing.
But for the
be
upside
right there,
of it,
I'm going to come to visit.
Come on over. The upside, though, is the ability to manifest your imagination, just like Geneva said. And I would just say, additionally, it just feels good to work towards your own vision and do things that you know benefit the community. Because in addition to my game, I have an applied advanced STEAM course for local high school students. Where basically it's a part of their school day. It's all funded by my company and not by the taxpayers. This includes like the busing. So the students get a paycheck, they get high school credit, college credit. They learn animation, 3D modeling, storyboarding, script writing, the Unreal Engine. And it prepares them for entry-level careers. And it also boosts their STEM confidence and competency. So it's a really great program. And right now the curriculum is in development. So
that's
I have a lot
wonderful.
Of things going on.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah. So funding is just really important. Like I just launched an iFund Women campaign to help pay for the curriculum development because I actually have a team of retired administrators in Minnesota that are developing it and helping me with the partnerships here in Minnesota.
And that is excellent. Yeah, I mean, that kind of dovetails in with our next question is about how your life outside of games, your education, your experience, how that's influencing the games that you're working on. And Jules, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think the influence is just all throughout. So in addition to being a Marine, I have an aeronautics undergrad degree. I went to seminary, so I have a theology degree. I have a JD, that's the law degree, and I have an MBA. And so I'm able to pull from pretty much all of these backgrounds in my coding in order to produce these games. So even though my first game is this really hilarious thing, oh, by the way, I have like 8 of my first games already laid out, already partially storyboarded.
Oh, wow.
So my second game is called War in Heaven. So that's when a third of the angels rebelled in heaven. And so you play from the perspective of 7 different angels who all have a different like look, like ethnicity look to kind of show a multicultural view of heaven. But one of the angels that you play as is one of the angels who chose to fall. But there will also be a really cool multiplayer where you create your own angels and you take down these weekly galactic demons that are the size of planets. It's really
what?
Fun.
That
yeah,
sounds
it's
so
awesome.
Cool. Is that what inspired your studio name?
Yeah, so my middle name is Seraph. But it did inspire my middle name. You got it. You're right on the, yeah, it's short for Seraphim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, I think just my influence and my commitment to just public service, social service, my commitment to the community, whether it's as a social justice attorney, civil rights attorney, and I do some like AI and cybersecurity stuff. I think it's all throughout what I'm doing here. Definitely my passion.
That's
did
rad.
I answer the question? I feel like I said
you
a lot.
You did. You absolutely answered the question.
All right.
Geneva, how about you? Talk to us a little bit about how your experience in the world and your education and your life outside of games is influencing your game development.
Yeah, so man, if I I'm currently still like going to school, like I'm a going to start classes like actually next week. So I'm like a rising junior getting a BFA in game design. I like growing up, I was usually just mainly into art and animation. I would watch a lot of anime, a lot of Cartoon Network. Besides even doing all that, I grew up in a Black household, so we had like a lot of movies that we would watch all the time. And I feel like the main reason why I was like so obsessed with roller skating, although I would probably get to roller skate only a few times a year because we had to like drive out really far to the only roller rink that like my family knew of, because my parents would keep playing roll bounce like for some reason when everyone would come over to eat. And so I know that's definitely like an inspiration for skating day anyway. Mm-hmm. But besides like watching anime and loving cartoons and comics, I'm really into playing guitar and like learning a lot about music. Growing up, like my dad would DJ a lot.
That's so cool.
And he had like a little studio like in the corner too. So I was like always like, I feel like now like I think about it more, I'm like, oh wow, this really has affected me. But back then I remember when I was younger, I would just kind of like, oh man, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like moving my dad's records because I think it would be silly or whatever. But I know that a lot of those things have inspired my game ideas, because I do have game ideas that I came up with just like in high school, because for some reason, like specifically in my math class, like all of my good ideas would come to me in math class. And now I've just kind of been slowly building upon them.
That's so interesting. Why do you think that that math class was particularly inspirational for you?
It's like, I guess like sometimes I think the problems would be too easy, so I would start drawing in my binder. So I think that's why, because I'd be like, all right, I finished what's on the board. I'm bored now, so I'm going to start drawing. And then I would start making new characters.
That's awesome. I would always end up doing that in like English class, where everybody was working away on whatever essays that they were working on. And me, I'm like writing short stories in the margins of my binder. That's awesome. All right. So there are still going to be gaps, right? Like indie development and just game development in general. You know, it is expensive. It's expensive in terms of human resources and time and, you know, actual capital. But what are some of the other gaps that you both are facing as indie developers? And in what ways will additional funding or even signing like a publishing deal will help or not? So Jules, why don't you go ahead and give us an answer on this one?
Sure. I mean, for me, there were some ideas that I wanted to go with first that I just couldn't start with because I didn't have the funding to do so. Kind of what Geneva said earlier, it's also difficult to get people to join your team when you can't pay them right away. So like one of my first game concepts was this game called Songbirds. I'm a huge like jazz and blues fan. I'm a huge fan of Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, Etta James, Nina Simone. And so I feel like they have such great stories that people don't know about. So my goal was to make kind of these interactive music videos where you have like a whole Ella Fitzgerald world and a Nina Simone world, and you play their music and you actually play through their music, and you have to listen to what the lyrics are in order to know what to do next. And the color schemes and the art styles are all different depending on their world and their song. And so it was really cool, but you know, that takes funding, that takes licensing for the music, and a lot of other things. So that couldn't be the first game that I started on, even though that I think would make like the biggest impact and the biggest introduction to Jules and Seraph 7, and what I'm really about when it comes to the meaningfulness in games and the art of the game. And then, you know, there's just some of the other big gaps. I mean, you mentioned funding, but venture capital funding is also extremely difficult. Especially for Black women, I think like it's so hard to get capital venture funding as it is, but only like less than 1% goes to Black women. And then I think the stats are like a white guy owned company is able to raise on average about $1.2 million, but a Black woman owned company only about $32,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I knew there was a gap there, but I didn't realize that the gap was that egregious. Holy hell.
The gap is huge. Just a couple of months ago in Tennessee, there was a black woman there, and she became the first black woman in Tennessee to raise $1 million for her company. And so, yeah, we're still...
In this year of 2020.
In this year of 2020, yeah, yeah. So there's difficulties and so much right on funding, you know, in order to get... I'd love to only focus on one part of the game, right? Kind of the overall design of things and to get really dig in the coding. But I also need somebody to help finish up the script. I also need another artist to help design all the other outfits and, you know, the whole world and the different arenas and things like that. And so just having to do all of this by myself, also not being able to work on anything else but this, if I want to actually get it done, it is difficult. And that's why the prototype fund is just so important, because like you guys said, in order for people to really take you seriously, you need to show up with, you know, some type of prototype already in hand.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed too, is there's so many people who just think that black women can't code, that we just don't know anything about computers and STEM, even though that's been proven wrong time and time again, it still blows people's minds. They're like, what? You code? You're going to do the coding? Right? And you just see all the doubt in their face. So it's like, I just can't wait to get this demo done to just shut them down. Like, just shut them down.
As a person who also operates on a lot of spite, I see you.
Thank you.
I sometimes feel like that's like the underpinnings of a lot of my career decisions. I'm just like, yeah, you said I couldn't do it. Yeah, screw you. Let's see how this works, huh? Yeah? How you like me now?
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why I am happy to kind of work on this demo by myself to shut people down. But I do know that in order to produce the product that I want to produce, I will need a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later on. Yeah.
All right. Jules? Or sorry, not Jules. My brain is not working. Jules, would you like to talk one more time? Just go through the whole thing. No, I'm just messing with you. Geneva, I would love to hear your perspective on this as well, please.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm kind of like in the same position as Jules, because it's just like there's only so many hours in a day. And also because like I'm a student, I'm like trying to focus on making sure that I'm doing well in my classes and making sure I'm eating and all of that other stuff. And it's hard to do all of that while also working on a game by myself. Like, I feel like I could do that really well in high school because there were a set amount of hours each day that I'd be outside and I'd come back home and, like, my parents would make me food. But now I have to do everything myself.
Man, adulting sucks.
Yeah. But because I have to be an adult and I have to, you know, also be a solo dev, I feel like if I had a team, especially for, like, some of the ideas I have, like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to put in enough effort or like get the right things I want across doing it all by myself, either because I'm struggling to draw a certain thing, or like, for example, like one of the ideas that I have that I'm like thinking about, like this RPG game set into this fantasy universe. But like, I still need to flesh it out more, but either way, like, there's going to be a lot of sprites. And it's like, while I've made a lot of sprites for my own game, I feel like I would be able to, like, it would get across really well if I had an actual sprite artist and I could pay them. And then I could focus on coding all of the systems while they do the art. Because if my brain is in these two different places, it's hard for me to, like, just manage my time well with all of these different things. But yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, just like any other creative, just like any creative project that requires a lot, like a high level of skill in so many different avenues, like there are very few people out there that can say, yes, heck yes, not only am I a Time Lord and therefore can, you know, fit all of this into one day. In fact, I don't think there are actually any Time Lords. That's very disappointing.
Well, it depends on which series you want. No.
Okay. All right. We'll get the really nerdy stuff out of the way later. So there are very few people out there that can hit the mark on every single thing in a project. You can be proficient at a handful of things. You can be very gifted at other things, and you can be just middling at other things, like me plus sound design. Even though I'm a podcast producer, it's not really my jam. Not super great at it. I just, you know, I just kind of bumble along. I can't be good at everything.
Well, and so the thing is, even if there are tasks that are, quote, easy, but they're not.
They're never easy.
Well, I mean, even if they are, they're easy and time consuming are two different things. So something might not be hard to do, but it might take up time. And that's time that you're not doing the other things that are central to getting your game out the door,
right?
Like putting a Steam page up, right? Or emailing press. These are there are different things that you can definitely do without a whole lot of background or training and know-how, but there are things that do take you away from coding or from art.
From like doing the work.
Yep, absolutely.
That you want to be doing.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Which does kind of lead us into kind of our next question, which is, what do you think that your peers in AAA could be doing to support indie developers, especially indie developers that come from marginalized backgrounds? Jules.
Awesome. I was hoping you'd start with me because I have a few ideas.
Great.
So we had a feeling.
Yeah, hopefully you had a feeling. Hopefully they'll be willing to share their networks. That's so important. And to make personal introductions to both like their networks, that includes their coworkers as well. Being mentors is also very important. Like here in Minnesota, it was so difficult for me to find mentors in the gaming space until I was able to find Ava. So I've just been kind of on my own trying to figure this out. Also being willing to serve on our advisory boards. Like let us call you up when we need some help and just beyond mentorship, make it a bit official so that when we do have to stand before investors or go to these competitions, we can say we have somebody with gaming experience on our board. Because it seems like no matter the great backgrounds of the folks on my board, people with who are IP attorneys, patent attorneys, people with software and coding experience, but what they said is like, you don't have anybody with gaming experience. Well, that's hard to find in Minnesota. Invite us to things like, after COVID is over, invite us to different functions or whatever that your company has going on so that we can make some connections and we can actually get some new experiences. And then share our work with your social media network and also share our work with your coworkers and your supervisors. That'd be really amazing to just help get us out there because we don't have access, to any of these. I remember when I wanted Ubisoft is one of my favorite companies and I really wanted to be noticed by them, but I have no connections. So I was just kind of sending cold emails, which of course, are probably not going to be opened and look at. But if they came from somebody else who was already established in the industry, then that would get me a little bit more attention. And so helping us access these things that we just don't have access to. You got to remember, we're people, right? Here in Minnesota, median income for a Black family of four is between $31,000 and $33,000 a year. So we're literally starting off poverty line with nothing, trying to learn all we can. And it's one thing to be able to learn the coding of it, but it's another thing to figure out how we make these connections and how we even get through the door. So if we are able to find you, please help us.
Makes perfect sense. Absolutely. And paying forward networks, paying forward success and access is so important.
It is. Yeah, it's a really important facet of like pretty much any industry that relies on access and networking. And as Mike and I have done, as Mike has done for me and as I've done for, burgeoning journalists and as we have done for other indie developers all over the place, it's pretty much the least we can do is throw our names behind an introduction and be like, yeah, look, we want to share our network with you. So here's this awesome person. Go forth and make some magic now, please.
Geneva, if there's anything that AAA, your peers in AAA could do to support you and other indie developers, what is it that you'd like to see?
So I definitely agree with like mentorship and also like sharing work that they see out there from indie developers, but also like taking another step to just like go out and like try to find more indie folks to like support, play their games, leave nice ratings, share them with your friends, and tell them to also play it. Like supporting them.